Ms. Gomez, are you ready? Okay. We are resuming the October 20, 2021 meeting of the Development Review Board. We are on item 14, PR 2021-5442, SI 2021-1714, EPC site plan sign-off. This is for Sedona West LLC at Eagle Ranch Road between Paradise and Irving Boulevard. And the agent is Decker Parrish Sabatini. Let's see. Oh, Anthony Santee. Okay. Welcome. Go ahead and introduce yourself with your name, firm, and address.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Anthony Santee. I'm with Decker Parrish Sabatini Architects, 7601 Jefferson Street Northeast, Suite 100, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead and introduce this project to us.
Okay. If I may, this is our first DRB hearing. I can do a quick presentation if I can share my screen. Is that
acceptable? That's very, yes. Well, let's make that happen. Ms. Gold, I think you need to do that. I can't.
Mr. Santee now has sharing privileges.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so this project's located on Eagle Ranch Road between Irving Boulevard and Paradise Boulevard, just west of Coors Boulevard. This is just to the east of us is the existing Target shopping center. The request is for a major amendment to a prior approved site development plan. That prior approval, our site shown here in the darker gray color, was for a 12 building office complex. And we are asking to amend that approval to accommodate multifamily housing. This project will consist of 218 market rate apartment units. Those are a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units. There's multiple amenities on site, including 3 outdoor grilling areas and an outdoor seating / respite area. There's a clubhouse. The clubhouse includes a mail center, fitness room, outdoor yoga deck, a party casita, another outdoor grilling area. There's a full-size lap pool and poolside cabanas. And as you can see, landscape throughout. The design of the elevations is a contemporary design, has various materials, including a stone veneer at the base, fiber cement siding, and stucco finishes with neutral and accent colors. The design, the elevation you're seeing here in the middle is of the buildings directly adjacent to Eagle Ranch Road. The design intent was to keep these buildings at a single story and have them get taller as they step down the hill. Our site slopes from the west to the east. So this design intent was to minimize the height of the buildings to help preserve views of the Sandias for the neighbors to the west. And that's also why there's flat roofs with parapets that conceal rooftop mechanical equipment. As part of the EPC process, it was requested that we conduct a traffic impact study. That study has been conducted and we analyzed the 5 intersections shown here in red. That has been submitted to the engineer and is in its second round of review, and we anticipate approval of that very soon. So with that, I will stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Santee. We'll go through that. What we'll do next is go to the public, and then after that, we go through each DRB member and their subject area and go through comments and questions at that time. So I think we're ready to go to the public. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item 14 at Eagle Ranch between Paradise and Irving? And I see Jeremiah Hill. Can you go ahead and unmute yourself? Jeremiah, can you give us your name and address?
Yes, good morning. My name is Jeremiah Hill. My address is 4515 Agate Hills, 87114.
Mr. Hill, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And go ahead with your comments. If you're representing anyone else in your comments, let us know that.
I'm primarily representing myself, but many members of the neighborhood have similar concerns to me.
Okay. Go ahead with your comments.
Okay. Yes, when we were in the EPC meetings, the majority of the neighborhood was opposed to this project. Our primary concern, now that they have addressed our concerns with privacy and the views by lowering the buildings along Eagle Ranch Road, which we do very much appreciate, is the impacts to traffic and the traffic patterns and parking in the neighborhood. The study that Mr. Santee referenced, we only saw traffic counters out there for 3 days during the middle of the week. So we're not, I mean, that's such a small amount of time. How does that study actually tell us the true traffic patterns in this neighborhood, especially considering the reduced traffic that the pandemic has right now? So the infrastructure in this area is already overwhelmed with commuter traffic, as we're right next to Coors Boulevard and Paseo del Norte. We're concerned that adding a complex with this population density is going to create a hazard at the intersection of Agate Hills and Eagle Ranch. One of the new driveways that they're going to add in the development will be competing directly with the neighborhood traffic. Agate Hills Road is already used as a cut through to bypass busy intersections in the area to access Congress Avenue and Golf Course Road. We've got cars speeding through here all hours of day and night, and we're concerned that the development's going to increase the amount of traffic cutting through the neighborhood and congestions at this intersection. So also the project has the bare minimum parking allowance planned. The vacant lot that they are wanting to develop is currently used as parking overflow for the neighboring apartment complexes and the Choose Fitness Centers. So we're afraid that all that overflow parking is going to be pushed up into our neighborhood as well. So that concludes my comments. I thank you all for your time and consideration.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hill. You were very succinct and clear. Appreciate that. And let's see if there's any other member of the public that is here to speak. And thanks for your patience in waiting for this case to come up. We do appreciate that. Okay, last call for anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this multifamily project on Eagle Ranch Road. Okay, at this time, I'll turn it back to Mr. Santee. If you would like to respond to the public comment that you've heard.
Sure, thank you, Jeremiah. So a couple things, you know, we'll get the traffic study back and that'll determine, you know, the scope of work for the traffic study is put together by the city's traffic engineers. So the duration they were out there conducting that study was based on what they had requested. And I would hope it was at the busier times of the day. So, but like I said, that study will be available soon. I can answer. I know that the existing apartment complex to the south does use the driveway just to the north as overflow parking. It's not really overflow. It's my understanding. I did meet with them. They have parking on site to accommodate. It's mostly folks that are parking there for convenience to those apartments on the north. So they really need to be parking back on their property. I think all the comments were mostly about traffic, and we really need to see that traffic study and what its recommendations are. Is there anything else that I missed?
Okay, thank you. Mr. Santee, you might just want to address the Choose Fitness, the way that you did the apartments to the south.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that Choose Fitness was using that. I mean, that's a pretty good walk to get over there. That's a new one for me. Choose Fitness has an abundance of parking out there. I mean, in that aerial, it doesn't look nearly full. I know that they get quite a bit of traffic, but this development is all private property, including that road, that driveway. That's not a public road that you're referencing that people are parking on. This is private property, part of our complex. So,
okay. And I imagine, this is Chair Wolfley, do you have walls or fences on your north and south property lines?
We will. We did agree initially for the south property line. We were originally proposing to close off that driveway that connects down to the east of the Target Shopping Center, thinking that that might help mitigate some of the traffic concerns. The neighbors actually preferred us to leave that open as they use it to get to and from the shopping center. So there'll be access through there, but we are putting up a new fence along the apartments. So there'll be no longer any access directly from that road into the apartments. Same with the north side, that'll be fenced off. So there'll be no direct access to Choose.
Okay, thank you. Let's go now to public comment. Water Authority. I mean, to board comments, Water Authority. And Mr. Senti, this is kind of a dialogue between you and the DRB member, but let's start with Water Authority comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. For this particular project, we have issued a serviceability letter, 210734. I believe that was requested by the High Mesa Consulting Group. As well, we have a service connection agreement that's been executed at C-21-19. That is the board approval for us to self-service to this lot. There were no utility infrastructure required to develop this lot. There's existing infrastructure on Eagle Ranch, on the private road to the southwest and along a corridor on the southeast, as well as through the access road that runs through the middle of the property. It's my understanding there's currently on the site plan, the water main that's existing to the middle of the property is under what is proposed to be landscape islands. Typically those would include trees. They would include curb perpendicular to the main, and that's typically not allowed. We want our main within the sort of the center of the drive out, the middle of the pavement, if it's gonna be within a private access easement. Or a public easement on private property required to be within the center of the drive out. I think from your engineer, there was a thought either to relocate the main possibly, or to relocate, you know, the way those islands are working. We're open to either of those solutions, but we can't have the trees over the main. As well, there's some separation requirements between water and sewer, as I'm sure you're aware. We do not want private water and sewer lines within our easement. The preference on our easements, in terms of what's required, is that they be exclusive. So there's no other utilities when we go to dig up the water main that we're digging through. I think as shown, that's met, but again, we have the issue with the trees over the water pipes. So that needs to be resolved one way or the other. We have some additional detailed comments in terms of the required easements that are provided for reference in terms of width and, you know, the exclusivity portion of it. But that's the gist of it. If the water main is going to be relocated, we would like to see that on an infrastructure list. If it's not going to be relocated, it isn't going to be out there. But that is all I have for you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Carter. So the plan is not to relocate the water main that's existing out there. I can pull back the landscape islands to move them away from that line and easement. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely make that change and make sure there's no trees or landscaping or curbs over that line. And it was my understanding, so there is a platting action that is also being heard on this that will dedicate that 20-foot wide easement for the water line.
Thank you. Just playing for Water 3, I think that complies with what we're looking for. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Santi, this is Chair Wolfley. You can help me out a little bit. So are you planning, so you are doing a platting action that will go with this site plan area. Is that correct?
That's correct. We needed the plotting okay. action for the easements.
Okay.
I tried to get it in to be heard today as well. I think they just missed the deadline, so I think they're on the agenda for next week.
Okay. And when things go through the EPC first, we do consider the site plan sign off ahead of the plat if we need to. So
okay.
Let's go to code enforcement.
This is Charles Maestas with code enforcement. So a couple of things noted here. First, I need to see the dimensions indicated from structures to property lines, something indicating that setbacks are being met. You've indicated a credit, a 5% parking credit for the transit shelter. And so I need to have you indicate the location of that transit shelter. I noticed that there's a bus stop indicated, but the credit indicates that per the IDO that the transit shelter is going to be provided at the expense of the property owner. So if you would indicate that transit shelter location, we need to see the parking calculations of the required and provided motorcycle parking for the site. In the notice of decision from EPC, there was a condition number 4 for walls and security talking about a requirement to provide a detail of the retaining wall. And the response says that it was provided on sheet SDP 1.2, but I didn't see any detail for an actual retaining wall. And also if that can be indicated exactly where that's located on the site plan as well. Then also within the elevations, I noted that there's CMU patio walls indicated, keynote number 15 on various buildings. And if we could see the height of those CMU patio walls indicated. And as far as building design, you had a note that building design will be subject to IDO section 511E2. And in actuality, what you've got here is kind of twofold. The building design is subject to all of IDO section 511D as well as 511E2B because of the activity center designation. So something that would be really helpful would be providing notes indicating which requirements are going to be provided. And if there's anything specifically that's not able to be met as far as a requirement, say glazing or something along those lines, that if variances have been applied for, the notice of decisions indicating approval to have less. But if there's a specific glazing requirement, that you provide a note indicating the calculated area to show, how much glazing is actually being provided. And it's specific to building A and B because those are the two street-facing buildings. So they have the street-facing facades. So there's definitely going to be some specific requirements for those two buildings. And I believe that's all the comments I had. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you. No, I don't have any questions. I received the comments last night, and we've already begun addressing many of them. So we will, in our supplemental submittal, address your comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department. We reviewed this for the EPC case, which was a major amendment to the entire shopping center. And the MRMPO long range bikeway system map showed a proposed multi-purpose trail along the east side through the shopping center. So we looked at that existing trail and it hadn't really been maintained. So we had a meeting with the applicant to discuss what could potentially be improved with this project. And some of the options that were discussed was a connection from the trail to this side street that runs along the south side of this property. And then a resurfacing of the existing trail. That was an ex parte meeting, just to put that on the record. And in the response letter, I saw that that you were intending to do something like that, but I think there needs to be, I didn't see the note, and it needs to be more clarification, perhaps a detail. And also the connection should be ADA compliant. And then our second comment was about the tree pallet. There was one tree on there, the urbanite ash, that is not recommended, but if it could be replaced with any of the other trees that are on your list. So it should be not a difficult change. Did you want to make any comments about that trail?
Okay, yes, and thank you. I will add an enlarged detail of the connection for the trail. You're right, we agreed that we would, there's no connection to the trail now to the street to the south. So I can provide a detail with that. I can also provide a paving section. I don't know if our conversation was to repave the entire trail. I mean, I think large portions of it are still in pretty good shape, but more to address areas that have been damaged or worn. Is that correct? And also that we're just talking about the frontage of our site as well, right?
Yes, my understanding was that it was going to be resurfaced. So if there were only patches that you were expecting to provide, I guess we would need more information on that. And then, we would need that presented, because I would have to consult the other members of, people in parks. If you had photos of those areas, or if you just want to resurface the whole thing, I think that would be preferable.
I will meet with the owners again and discuss with them. If we may go out there and take some photos and really analyze it to see, it may be better just to resurface the entire thing. I don't know for sure myself. So let me take a look at that, and I will make sure we have adequate details in the supplemental submittal. And if I have any questions, I can reach out to you prior to the next hearing to go over what we plan on doing.
Yes, please. Okay. This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I also wanted to ask about the easement that was mentioned by the Water Authority. I did you provide a plat with this package? It seemed like there was something. Yeah, so it was, I felt like it could be somehow clearer as to how those align, because is the easement completely on your property and then the trail is on the adjacent property? I know there was like a section of the trail that was on this property.
No, the majority of the easement is on the adjacent property. There's a few feet of that easement extends onto our property. And the trail itself, I think, again, the majority of the trail is on the adjacent property as well. I want to say it's maybe 2 or 3 feet max of the total width of that trail and easement that's on our property.
Are they overlapping, the Water Authority easement and the trail easement?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I believe they would be overlapping, but those easements are all already existing on that side of the property. The only easements we're adding are the ones there's a center drive aisle right in the middle running north south. And that was the easement we're adding for the Water Authority.
Okay, thank you.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of September 27, 2021. We have no objection.
Transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. First and foremost, the traffic study has to be approved prior to my sign off. And any recommendations as part of this study would have to be incorporated onto an infrastructure list. Just for clarification, counts in front of the site are taken during peak hours. So that should be incorporated into the study. We'll be studying levels of service in front of along the site just to see any impacts this development has on the adjacent network roadway to determine if any additional offsite improvements should be made. The public's traffic comments are noted. My senior engineer is reviewing this, and the traffic counts should incorporate the impact of the pandemic as far as, you know, dip in the current traffic counts. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of my comments. I wanted a copy of the referenced encroachment agreement along with the application for that access way that from the shopping center that goes to Eagle Ranch. Just include a copy of that with the application. I believe you already have. Provide a cross section of Eagle Ranch Road, which can incorporate a future bike lane. Because this is shown on the master plan from Mr. Cog, this would affect right-of-way dedication along Eagle Ranch Road. As also address Parks and Rec's comments with regard to the existing bike trail to the east, is providing, you know, detailed cross sections, proposed repairs, and provide the missing connection to Paradise Boulevard that we discussed in a prior meeting, and also show the easements to make sure the easements are in place for that trail as well, along with whatever proposed limits of improvements you intend to make. Show width of north access way off of Eagle Ranch Road, just, you know, going ahead and labeling all the rest of the dimensions for that are needed on that site. Call out curb with a keyed note and provide all curb radii throughout the site. Follow DPM requirements to allow for turning movements. Looks like we need additional curb ramp details in situations where you have two sidewalks intersecting at the van accessible aisle in order to provide accessibility in all directions from that van accessible aisle. An ADA space appears to be needed by buildings E and J for ease of accessibility. Show clear site triangles on both the site plan and landscaping plan based on intersection site distance, and add the following standard note on landscape height restrictions on both the site plan and on the landscape plan. Include more detail for bike racks, show spacing in between bike racks following the requirements of the DPM on spacing, show where bike racks are distributed throughout the site for ease of access to the buildings, and show how the bike rack requirements are being met. Indicate electrical charge stations on the plan. Bus shelter was already mentioned by code enforcement. That's also one of my in comments. Coordinate with transit as needed on that detail, specifically Andrew DeGarmo. And also, because it was discussed to continue that access way from the shopping center to Eagle Ranch, if that's going to be kept in place, we noted that there's some parking spaces that are shown along that access way for people to back up into that access way. And so the concern is safety there. Due to the volume of traffic in combination with, you know, the length of that access way being a total of over 1200 feet, we would be looking at probably some traffic calming measures through there. And it should also be addressed as part of the traffic study.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger. So I received the comments. We're working on addressing all of those comments. Thank you for that. I had a couple of just quick questions. I think regarding the bike lane in Eagle Ranch, I guess I can provide a cross section. The intent would be that I believe there's sufficient right of way out there to accommodate a 5 foot wide bike path, which I believe is the required width on that type of a street. So if that's possible, I mean, I would assume if there's sufficient right of way, then we wouldn't be needing to do any right of way dedication, correct?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. You'd have to provide me a cross section showing how it would meet the minimum requirements of the DPM. I believe in this section of road, the minimum bike lane width is 6 feet. It's labeled in the elements. cross-sectional elements in the DPM, you know, as part of, I guess, one of the first one or two sections of the transportation chapter. But you're correct, if you're able to fit it, you know, with minimal effort, we can take a look at that. If setback requirements are an issue with you for any reason, you know, we can also look at sidewalk easements if that's one of your concerns, because we wouldn't be building anything if there's nothing to tie into. We just want to make sure that that is reserved for the future, at, you know, when they decide to go ahead and build that that bike lane per the master plan.
Understood. Thank you. And you had mentioned an encroachment agreement, and that is for the private drive on the south side of the property, or?
Correct. I think you had made a reference to it. I just wanted, you know, that since that's, that was such a key component for this site plan approval, I just wanted to make sure we had that for the record.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I have any other questions. I will work on addressing all of your other comments in our supplemental submittal. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Chair Wolfley, and I just want to ask a couple of questions related to the IDO. We have on the agenda that this is IDO 2020. I'm not sure that's correct. When did you submit your EPC application?
Let me look that up.
And
okay, sorry, the EPC application was submitted in May of 2021.
Okay, so that, gosh, I'm all confused for a second here. May, and I think the 2020 IDO became effective August of 2021.
This is Maggie Gould, that's lag. Correct.
Okay, so you are technically subject to the 2019 IDO. I just want to get that clarified on the agenda, Ms. Gomez. And then that relates back to Mr. Maestas' comments about facades in the 2019 IDO. And I think the only section you're subject to is the 511E, which, because your zoning is mixed use, then you follow the facade requirements for multifamily in the mixed use zone and not 511D, which is multifamily zoning. And, but I think also the EPC planners reviewed your facade requirements as well during that review period, correct?
Yes, I believe, I mean, absolutely reviewed the facade.
Yeah. They approved, the EPC approved these particular facades.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So there might be some little minor details here and there, but I just wanted to kind of clarify the record that that was part of your EPC approval and that you were subject to the 2019 IDO because the facade standards did change a fair amount between those two IDOs. I was kind of behind some of that, and that's why I'm clear about it. So,
okay. Thank you for that. I'll note on the elevations that the section 511E of the 2019 IDO and try to make it clear as to how we're meeting those standards.
Okay. And then let's go to my other planning colleagues for the remainder of planning comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I just note that the EPC approved this project on August 19th, 2021. The site plan meets the EPC conditions. DRB staff coordinated with EPC staff on the request, and EPC staff provided a memo stating the conditions were addressed. The application number, I'll just note, and I can pull up the site plan here to point out where this goes. I'll just note that there you have the project number there. I'll add this too. Add a PR-2021-005442. And then you're going to need to note the project number, the application number as well, which is SI-2021-01714. It's a separate application number than the one for the original EPC site plan, but you need to have that there. And I'll note that solid waste signature needs to be obtained prior to distribution of the site plan for DRB signatures. I'll give you the same speech I gave previously, which is we strongly recommend that you get that signature before the DRB approves the site plan to avoid any issues with solid waste requiring an amendment of the site plan after DRB approval and possibly requiring a major amendment or requiring it to come back to us. So please get that solid waste signature prior to DRB approval, preferably. And I'm gonna have an additional comment here that's not on our memo because it sounds like we're gonna have an infrastructure list requirement. Therefore, we're going to need you to get a recorded infrastructure improvements agreement approved and recorded, and the recorded copy submitted to us before the final sign-off of the site plan will be possible from planning. And that concludes planning's comments, I believe.
Okay, this is Chair Wolfley. Mr. Santi, I imagine you probably got a solid waste approval at the EPC.
This is Anthony. No, I don't have those sign-off from solid waste, but they do, okay. It is in review with them.
Okay.
Yes, so we're working on that signature now.
Okay, and then let me go to Ms. Gould. I just wanna make sure we give you the best information. So will their infrastructure list be tied to their plat in this case and the recorded IAA?
This is Maggie Gould. We can do that either way. We can tie it to the plat or we can tie it to the infrastructure list. I mean, we can tie it to the site plan. Our preference is always to tie it to the plat.
This is Anthony.
But, just, go ahead.
The infrastructure list, is that just for the trail improvements? Or what would be on the infrastructure list?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I thought transportation had some comments which required an infrastructure list, but maybe I'm wrong. Or water authority, or both. I thought I heard.
This is Maggie Gould. One more. Sorry, Jay, go ahead.
No, I thought I heard that requirement from the DRB mm-hmm. comments that someone required an infrastructure list. That's why I brought it up.
And just to clarify, Mr. Senthi, was the plat you are submitting, is that a major plat or a minor plat?
Minor.
Minor. In that case, we should probably tie the infrastructure to the site plan.
Okay. Mr. Carter, do you have any infrastructure list items?
This is blank for the Water Authority. Based on discussion here today, we do not. Thank you.
Ms. Wolfenberger, do you have any infrastructure list items you anticipate?
This is Jean with Transportation. So based on Park's comment and my comment, the bike trail would be one of them. That should be on the infrastructure list. And just depending on what comes out as far as the traffic study. I'm sorry, I had an interruption. excuse me. Depending on what comes out in the traffic study, that might need to be on the infrastructure list as well. I don't know the details of that.
Okay, and then I don't know about the bus shelter.
The bus shelter, yes, the bus shelter should be on there as well. Thank you for that.
Okay, so I think that's kind of something to sort of process and Ms. Gould can help you if you have questions about the major minor plat situation. Okay, so it looks like we need to defer this to go over, get some of those comments. Oh, before we do that, Mr. Hill, are you still here? Jeremiah?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, Mr. Hill, you have an opportunity at this point to ask any questions that would clarify testimony that you've heard. This isn't a time to give your additional comments, but if there's something about the testimony that you would like to have clarified or corrected, this is your chance to ask questions only.
I have no further questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Now we can look at a deferral date with Mr. Santee. And it looks like you know, the main things are that water authority work and the traffic impact study. Ms. Wolfenberger, do you have any comments about when your staff will be able to clear review of that study?
This is Jean with transportation. I believe it's in the consultant's hand. Is that correct, Anthony?
No, it was resubmitted for a second. We responded to a couple questions that the engineer had, and it has already been resubmitted. Should be back in the city's hands.
Okay, so yeah, I'll just allow 2 weeks time from the time you submitted it for my senior engineer to review it and see whether or not it's approvable.
Thank you. This is Anthony again, and that's what I was expecting. We submitted just over a week ago, so I think this week is the second week it will be in review. So we were anticipating something by next week.
Mr. Santee, do you know the date of your plat, when your plat is going to, have you submitted your plat application yet?
The plat was submitted this week. So will be heard next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, okay. I guess we can be optimistic and defer this to next Wednesday too, and see if some of these things are cleared by then.
I think we need 2 weeks.
Two weeks would probably be
a little bit better. Make sure.
All right. So let's do that then for November 3rd.
That works for me. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item 14 to November 3rd?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Charles Maestas with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Army Hill, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger, Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 14, PR 2021-5442, and EPC site plan sign off SI 2021-1714 to November 3rd.